Blog Talk Radio.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. الرحمن الرحيم. مالك يوم الدين. إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين. اهدنا الصراط المستقيم. صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Latifa A. Hameen, the CEO for American Muslim 360, the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice is protected.
The views expressed by the host guests are their own and not necessarily the position of AM360 or the parent corporation, the Community-Wide Shura Conference, CWSC Incorporated. AM360 content is intended as a community service and is not designed to provide specific personal, medical, financial, or legal counsel or other professional advice, and no liability shall extend to the host or hostesses of AM360 or CWSC. We encourage you to seek an advisor for your specific circumstance. Now Joshua fought the battle of Jericho,
and the walls came tumbling down. Community-Wide Shura Conference and American Muslim 360 invites you to promote your organization or event on the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice protected. Affordable rates allow you to promote your event, product, or service and strengthen our national intelligentsia network. Contact corporate underwriting today at info@cwsc.us. That's info@cwsc.us. Or call 910-317-0297. Again, 910-317-0297. Together we can remake the world.
With God's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer, we witness openly there's no Lord Creator worthy of worship but one, Allah. There's nothing like unto Allah or to be compared or mixed with him, with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we witness that Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him, the last messenger to mankind from Allah, prophet and messenger to us from Allah, the Creator, who brought us the Quran as revelation to guide our lives by. Dear listeners, dear listening audience, we welcome you to Preparing to Make It in the Land of Plenty. We are very aware of the troubled conditions that are in the world, and I would call it minor disturbances that are in the world. And we know that Allah's hand is over everything, and he, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, will bring about the best result. So we pray for our brothers and sisters who are suffering so many tragedies, not only in the Gaza, in Sudan, in the Rohingya, the Muslims there, the Uyghurs, you know, the life. And in many cases, as the previous lecture indicated, we disappoint the religion. We disappoint the religion by not showing the best example of what a Muslim life, what the Muslim life is and how it can be lived. And it's in the best mode. We fail to take the best thereof, as Allah mentions in the Quran to us. Take the best thereof. Do your best. Be at your best. And the light of this religion will shine forth in your behavior. And people will be obviously attracted and see that as an example. So we've been having some technical difficulties with the station, but thank God, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that we are back in business, so to speak. And we won't really have some discussions today. We've been entertaining an idea that we've been also sharing, and it's the idea of an Islamic family reunion and also an Islamic homecoming, so to speak, where we want to invite all of our, all of humanity, really, but for sure, those who have in the past recognized the beauty of this religion and Allah had inspired them to embrace it and become Muslim, and then maybe had some difficulty challenges that brought them hardship, and they may have fell on the wayside. And I've seen so many examples of that within our communities, locally as well as statewide and nationally. I'm sure it's happening nationally as well, because we have people come in, they take Shahada, they love this religion, and then for some reason we don't see them again, maybe because we didn't have institutions in place, which we're going to talk about that as well in this program, where they can actually feel a part of the community and begin to learn how to meet the challenges that this society presents to people following, embracing a new way of thinking and battling with old influences. So we're going to have some discussion about that, but our main focus is we want to invite all of our young people who may be experiencing challenges such as I mentioned, to let's think about having an Islamic homecoming. An Islamic homecoming where we're going to try to maybe look at scheduling a big event. We are doing some discussions here in the state of Florida, where I'm locally affiliated with, about that on the local level as well as on the state level. We are having these discussions on how to reach out and galvanize the thinking that has produced the mindset, the hearts of the people to become Muslim, and then, you know, the influences of the shaitan steal them away. And we want to have safeguards. We want to think about strategic safeguards as to how we can fight the influences of the shaitan. So welcome again to Preparing to Make It in the Land of Plenty. I'm your host, Lacey Umar. We have Professor Rabbani with us, and we have Sister Munira on the engineering board, Munira Habil, and we're hoping Imam Michael will also join in and take that responsibility of engineering. So welcome, Professor Rabbani. Are you there? And we want to greet our audience. And Michael, if you are there, please greet the audience and let us know we can get busy here.
Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum assalam. How are you, Professor?
Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. Good.
Alhamdulillah. You know, let me just share this story with you right quick, and then you can come in. I'll welcome you in. I was just a day or two ago, I was talking to a young sister who was raised up as a Muslim. But for some reason, you know, with influences, she got sidetracked and married someone outside of the religion, really, and has a family. And, you know, but when I was talking to her and I was mentioning about how Islam promotes the good life, strong life, and with the idea of what I just mentioned on how to galvanize our young minds back to loving God, loving Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, loving the religion and seeing the religion as a way to improve their life. And you know, I was telling her about the need to live a better life, be more excellent in the life. And she asked me specifically what did I mean by that? And you know, and I explained a little bit about it, but I thought about the four elements that the Imam shared with us: education, business, economics, and culture and governance, and how these things really influence and attack the life. So later on, I talked with her father, actually, and shared with him to please talk to her about these issues. But, you know, what really inspired me when I told her the little bit of it, she said, inshallah, inshallah. She probably hasn't prayed in, I don't know, maybe she pray every day. But you know, we haven't seen her. She's had some struggles with addiction, things like that. But she still had this God consciousness, this taqwa, you know. And I was just so impressed with that and seeing, and she has a family. That's more importantly, she has a family that really needs that influence in it, you know. So please share with us some thoughts you may have on these issues, on how we can encourage an Islamic homecoming, so to speak. Islamic family reunion. We are family. We are a family. I like Imam Omar Shakur emphasis on family. So please share with us, Professor, some concerns and interests you may have on this topic. Inshallah.
God's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. Witness that there's no creator, no one worthy of worship other than Allah, God, one who created the heavens, the earth, and all is in between. He needs no assistance or help to manage creation. He has created the best creation and for his purpose. And so we thank Allah, and we thank Allah for giving us guidance from Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him, by way of the Quran, Al-Kareem, the book that confirms truth, separates the lie from the truth, and gives us clear understanding in our rational mind. We thank Almighty God for giving us leadership in our community with Imam W.D. Muhammad, God forgive, and the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, Professor Farad Muhammad, and Sister Clara Muhammad. May Allah forgive them all of their sins and grant them the highest level of paradise. Ameen. We thank Allah for our brothers and sisters who have stuck with the evolution and the growth of our community. Now, we know that our community is getting older. The ones that have started out back in the 70s or 60s and 70s, and we have to prepare, or we should be prepared to hand over the gauntlet to the next generation, like you said, those mothers of people who have been raised up, the kids that have been raised up in the Islam, cause of the disjoining of different communities, they're having problems in influencing or presenting them best audience for thinking and using their rational mind to live a life that is guided moral excellence, dignity. And like you said last week, we were talking about how we can formulate interactions from a large scale, from a national scale or statewide scale, local scale, home scale, to counteract the devastating influences and the crippling morality messages that are being presented every hour of the day, every day of the week, every week, every week in the year. So we have a task that we are challenged with. One, how do we attract youth to have a certain spirit, a certain energy to look at the excellence of that that youthful spirit in the mind, the new language and the new mind that has been produced in this country that has an effect all over the world. The mind and the language that we have been given, have been inherited, we have changed the world whether they know it or not. And this is the thing that has to be emphasized, that you already an excellent model. Just from the fact that you change your name, once you change your name, that name is a word. So it's always carry that Islamic name with you, whether you're doing wrong or right. I love to put Islamic name out when you're doing wrong. They're very hesitant to even talk about anyone who has a Muslim name, a Muhammad, Salim, Ma, Kel. They don't want that name to be presented alongside excellence. So we have to do, this is again, I've been talking to you, of course, many days about this, is to develop an environment that we can draw on our excellent Muslims who have been successful in the world and national limelight. We have Muslims, Brother Imam from Jacksonville, whose nephew, I believe, is an outstanding football player in Texas, University of Texas. There's another one who Texas is playing against, I think, Washington or one of the colleges that have his cousin on the other side, who's a Muhammad. They're playing in a national broadcast game on TV. That just triggered in my mind. Let's see if we can. And then we have other Muslims who play professional football, basketball, and perhaps even baseball. We should try to contact these people to have a kind of gathering, like to attract youth, and have that. We can't do it in the community. We can do it maybe state by state, and then a national as we go along. Now we have an attraction. You remember when Muhammad Ali became champ, he started going all over the world. Every place he went, he was more popular than the king or the prime minister in that country. So that tells you, I met an imam from Augusta, Georgia. And we were talking, I met him in Columbia. Not sure of his first name. But he and I sitting in Juma next to each other. I didn't know him. He didn't know me. And when Juma was over, we into the room with our shoes on. So we were talking. I asked him where he was from. He says Augusta. Oh, good. And we got into a conversation that hit on sports. And said, yes, I'm encouraging my daughter. My daughter is not usually be the masjid, but she's traveling a lot. I said, oh, yeah, she's going. She's traveling all over the world. And I said, oh, yeah, what did she do? Oh, you know, she's the gold medalist in the 400-meter hurdles. I said, what? Yes, Dalia Muhammad. Oh, Dalia Muhammad was a medalist, gold medal winner, and she was a 400-meter specialist. So I said, now, with all of these different great athletes, you should be able to try to bring 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 to some kind of, organized youth for Muslims somewhere in the States. We have all these football players. We're not asking them for nothing other than to come there and encourage those kids to be better human and regardless of whether they're Muslim. Yeah.
Yes. Exactly. Excellent idea. That's an excellent idea, and that challenge should go out to anyone listening right now who has those qualifications. They should pick up this banner. That's another thing that we have to encourage. You know, don't be just a passive listener. Think about when you hear something that motivates you, hits your spirit, don't resist doing good. Just move on it. Just go ahead and do it. You know, that's the issue. That's the issue we suffer from, the lack of activity. So, Professor, we have a call in the queue I want to go to, and we're gonna come back with this topic. Okay. We're going to continue on this. So, caller, state your name and where you're calling from. Are you muted, caller?
This is Brother Muhammad from the Ummah of Prophet Muhammad, by the way, of Columbus, Georgia. I just
want to
what you were saying. Yeah, look, we have all the examples here in the United States of America. But first we have to get the definition of what we're talking about. We know that the only land of plenty is that of Al-Islam. And that is the key thing that Shaitan is keeping away from us, the definition of our goal setting and our destiny. And we have Muhammad Ali and all kind of Muslims of different persuasion have got and had the plenty of this country here. And Imam Muhammad warned us, don't lose your faith. Don't trade your faith in your life for this life here just to be successful. But until we understand that and not try to establish halal where our children will be happy to spend the goodness of this world that Allah has gave us our fair share of, to build the halal community for all who believe, and then do so. So what are we doing now? We're challenged. We got rich people among us now. We got millionaires. But they see that they are always torn between how to live al-Islam here in America on this soil here. When Allah told us in the beginning, go to develop your own share of this dunya wherever you are on this earth, France, United States, England. You have a right to do so. But you have to do it by spending on your own soul first. To be the model example of those who want to not only please God and worship God and serve God, but also have the best of this world here. So when we get around to where we are getting now, inshallah, Allah, the simplicity of understanding how to make it in the land of plenty is to establish al-Islam in America, not continue to, while we're going through this transition of understanding, clarity, quit spending our money on the ways, the society, the culture, the economics of the society that won't let us grow. It's not meant to let us grow. So we can't serve two masters. We can't spend in America or France or Germany or this and that, you know, and while at the same time spend feasibly low. So Shaitan knows that, and that is one of the secrets he's trying to keep away from us, to realize that in order to make it in the land of plenty, first you got to know what that means. That means right here in America, how do the Muslims establish a halal society with everything that Allah has given us up to this moment? And you'll find that we are very rich, and we have a wonderful, wonderful head start on the world to do what they want to do. And that is to be free, to be equal, eat the best food, have the best concerns for each other, have equality in every level of understanding of one who exerts his or herself to be a part of the halal community. And that's pretty, it's pretty simple what we're doing, because Allah said he has not made this difficult. He is not the creator of confusion for us. That Shaitan's doing that. All we have to do is stay in the light that Imam Muhammad, by Allah's permission, turned on and do what he's been telling us all ever since the Honorable Elijah Muhammad told us. Save your own soul first. That's the best thing we can do for any human being who is trapped in this oppressive, perverted, fornicated, adulterated, and all the other languages Allah has given us in Revelation to warn us. You cannot be fornicated. You cannot mix two societies. This is a pure. This is in class. There's no doubt in it other than what we let Shaitan put in our own reality, and then some of us will snatch it because they have not developed their belief enough to where faith has entered their heart, to where they really understand that there ain't but one creator. That there really ain't no other way to go, Muhammad.
That's exactly what we are talking about on this program
Wait a minute, please, sir.
Wait a minute. I've given you past my usual time to allow someone to preach on the program. So, but that's what we are talking about. How do we reach people with that message you're talking about? You have to have maybe became Muslim, took Shahada, and went back out there and Satan has got their thinking. So we want to talk about strategies to reach them so that we can teach them about faith, about Allah, about the creator, et cetera, and how to live a halal life, as you mentioned. So that's what this program is about.
And we're on the right program to do that, because that's what this program is about. It's community
So that's what we're trying to do, get strategies where we can have the opportunity to educate our citizenry, not just, and we're focusing this with particular concern on our young people, because they have been more susceptible, I think, in my opinion,
and
being seduced by the Shaitan. So we want to find those means to reach them with the religion of Islam, just as you described it. Excellent description, by the way. Thank you so much, inshallah, and we call back anytime.
Could I have just 30 seconds to say that when we start with Muslim Student Association, re-purify it and get it started into the school. When we start doing like what I've done 40 years ago when I went to the Georgia superintendent of school and made them respect and make sure my daughter them had a place to pray at school, had a choice of diet, even from, and then like we leave, like Imam Muhammad left us, we got to go back to the convention centers. We got to go back and advertise al-Islam in America so people can come and learn that al-Islam is not a threat to America, but it is the reason Allah is going to bless America. If you let the righteous people.
That's why that language I had, Islamic homecoming, you know, that's what we're looking at on and having a big event with that. Not just small, just the things you're mentioning. That's what we are shooting for. We sure appreciate you very much. Thank you so much.
Bless you. All right. When you get together, I got a thousand.
Thank you, Muhammad. Thank you. Thank you so much, Muhammad. Well, Lord bless you, brother. So, Professor, are you still with us?
Yes, sir.
Yes.
I don't leave my post until probably the leave.
So we're gonna circle back. Is Imam Michael present yet? I'm kind of concerned about him. I know he has some health issues, and I haven't been able to communicate with him. We pray Allah he's okay. Imam Michael, if you are there, please hit one. We got this system back up and running. We hope we can get you in. If your board is not working, just call in because Sister Manira is handling the board right now, inshallah. So, Professor, go ahead.
There were so many ideas about activities, engagements, and the aspect of bringing, vital life.
Yeah,
rational.
Good description. Vital life. That's a great description of what we need. That spirit. That's a great description of the spirit we need to have. Yes.
Exactly. So we're getting up in the age now. So we used to have picnics, and we used to challenge the youth. Now we can't challenge the steps. we can't challenge the steps, but alhamdulillah, our spirit is that of the youth, and that doesn't change. The physical attributes change, but the spiritual life, this is what is being attacked, especially among the females. And that is because if I think the society, when the females are not dressed, they will be undressed by the shaitan. And that's what's happening, because their life is spiritual life. The thing that Pharaoh wanted to do is to kill the leadership, the male, first male, which is the leader, and then save the female so that he can corrupt the female. Because once he corrupts the female, then the society that she's going to produce is going to be corrupted. And I see this so clearly. My goodness, you have government of the United States singling out the female and the children to take care of them. And having the male be under scrutiny and having all kinds of different laws, and I would see that their attitude legally has become very very vicious now, and it's going to get worse. That's why we need community life, because what's coming down the road, from what I see, is going to be something that you would never think would happen in the United States of America among the people. Just like what happened in Rwanda, I couldn't believe it. Just like what's happening in Palestine now, would never even think that they would, and then the world would sit back and allow this carnage to occur without saying a mumbling word. Tongues have been tied by the Zionists. Everybody who speaks against this, they say they're either anti-Semitic or the hatred of Jews and Jews. No. This has nothing to do with labels like Jew or Zionist. This is between people who have accepted to live by Almighty God's standards, which he has established for human life, and those who don't. There's only two people in the world. And that is what is happening all over the world. And like you say, in Rwanda, I mean, look, you know that was devastating. And I don't know how long it took for anybody to address what happened in Bosnia, and the Uyghurs in Asia, the Rohingyas in Myanmar, and the Africans who are trying to leave the oppressive countries to go to an area where there's a peace and opportunity, and drown on their way. So these are things that, you know, we don't want our youth to become so corrupted and so numb to understanding that they have a special role in the life of this country. And that this country, like the brother said, it will be blessed by allowing the Muslim to aid and help in restoring what the vision of this country in terms of equality and opportunity.
Yeah, you know, Imam Rao did this book, Attaining the Ethical Society. The Ethical Society, a society developed on ethics and principles that are valuable and contribute to a healthy environment. We're going to take a pause for the calls here, Professor, and thank you so much for those comments on this topic. And this is an appeal going out. This is an appeal. This is the Preparing to Make It in the Land of Plenty appeal to our young people, to our established people, to pick up the challenge of life, pick up the challenge of building healthy community life. Don't touch that dial. We'll be back in a while.
Said I may not know you.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. This is Sister Khalida Akbar Abdulaziz, Program Manager for American Muslim 360. CWSC is inspired by the visionary leadership of the late Imam W.D. Muhammad Rahimahullah Alayh and his proposition that our communities need a studious group of persons or an intelligentsia, studying our history and circumstances and envisioning a brighter future for succeeding generations to live better in America. In 1999, an important step was taken to fulfill the shared vision of structuring an intelligentsia with a national think tank capable of serving first our communities and then eventually national and global interests. We welcome you to American Muslim 360 listenership. Thank you. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Yeah, wonderful PSAs. Thank you so much for that, Sister Munira Habil. They're working the boards. So here we are, you know, we are looking at challenges that we face with our young people. And we know that many of them are doing wonders, and we are not, this is not a broad sweep of the brush. But also we have many that are trying to forge their life in this environment. And we don't have the institutions per se, like in Atlanta, out in Texas, where Imam Wazir is there, Imam Suleiman in Atlanta with his staff of wonderful workers. I had the opportunity to visit there, especially during the gala, where they raised that $5.7 million. And I'm sure that's has been surpassed by now, but a historic event with wonderful leadership, school, and to show you how this idea of what the man presented to us, education as the top priority. Imam Suleiman is an alumni of the Clara Muhammad School, and now he's leading that community along with all the other leaders who have made a contribution to build it. But now he is an alumni graduate of the school at the helm. And by the way, I think he's gotten a doctorate in Islamic studies. I'm not sure what's the category of Sikh, Hadith, et cetera, et cetera. I'm not sure what is the discipline is the correct word for that. But inshallah, he's furthering his education along. We have Imam Rashad there, a student of Imam Muhammad, also a very, very scholarly leader. So young and all of them maybe within their 40s, you know, somewhere in that area with families, young families coming on, and the school is still producing those type of leaders. So we're in good shape. I think we are in good shape. We're not crying the blues here. We are making progress tremendously. But what we want now is for every community to have that opportunity to witness this type of progression and have institutions that will support, you know, our new converts. You know, even while I was there and visiting, there were some new converts, and they have a Saturday program designed specifically for that, so that when you become a Muslim, now you got to learn this deen. You got to learn how to be a Muslim. What is a Muslim? Who is a Muslim? How do you become a Muslim? How do you grow as a Muslim? And what are your obligations and responsibilities as a Muslim? So we are missing that aspect where we don't have the institutions we need readily available. There are plenty of them, and there's plenty of things online, et cetera, et cetera. But there are also things online will have you out in space somewhere. But Imam Muhammad, I appreciate the program this morning. Imam Kareem played where the Imam was talking about the spirit of Al-Islam. What is the spirit of Al-Islam, and how the adherents have let down Al-Islam. Al-Islam haven't let down anyone. This is a perfect religion. It's perfect. It has everything that the human being needs. Allah says he has addressed every matter in the Quran and in the Quran and Sunnah, which is the example of how it's to be lived. So, you know, when we are talking about preparing and making in the land of plenty, that's exactly what we are talking about, how the religion of Al-Islam prepares us to be successful in the land of plenty. Yes. So, Professor, chime in with us, if you will, please.
Yes. You know, when you were mentioning once people accept Al-Islam and make Shahada, that there's a they have to learn the religion, and like you said, we have classes established for them weekly or biweekly that will teach them the adab, the history of Muhammad the Prophet, peace and blessing be upon him, of what he had to go through. But it's also good to have them hanging out with Muslims who have who are progressive and who are doing work, huh?
Yeah.
And who are athletic, who would like to take them and then travel with them. One of the greatest educations is travel. And I just wanted to mention also, before I lose that thought, is that the brothers and sisters, I think in Texas, that have that program for the youth, Sister Baina.
Yes.
And her husband.
Camp Khalil.
Doing
Camp
wonderful.
Khalil.
They've been on that case for a long time and showing great results. Though they should be the chairman of the board in terms of putting things like this together, and we should support them so that they can actually operate and organize and lay out the functioning of these different types of programs all over the country. So that the youth, and then tie that in with the sportsmen, the Muslim sportsmen and women, to attract them. And then we have the culture. You know, we have culture. We have business. We have government.
Mm.
You see, we have all of the four birds that we can enjoin. And now we have a brother I met in Newark who is a part of the International Development Bank. And they are looking for two young people who have graduated from, have their bachelor's degree, recently graduated, and have available two scholarships for them to study Islamic banking overseas.
Mm-hmm.
And they're looking for Muslims, and you know the banking system in the United States has been gearing up for the onslaught of Islamic banking as quiet as it's kept. And they have it already in their institutions.
Yeah.
They don't advertise it. You see? And it's and now you can see that debt, I mean, this shaitan is no joke. Shaitan is a scientist, okay? He keeps the people in debt and with credit cards.
Credit cards.
And that
and,
keeps them
that
tied down to a certain kind of way of life that will always enslave them.
Yeah.
And they're afraid that they will lose. They say, for instance, what's happening, and you can see this on the national
make sure your phone is stable. I'm hearing some feedback. Make sure your mic is stable. Because I'm hearing it for myself as well now.
Go ahead.
Yeah, go ahead. Continue. You were saying the shaitan is a scientist, and he's a...
Look what's happening in Palestine.
Yes.
This does not call it Palestine. Let's just call it a group of people have a certain mindset to destroy another group of people. Heinous weapons, no disregard, no regard for no respect for those that group. The war,
yes.
You go to war with soldiers against soldiers. The world is not saying anything because they fear loss. Something on the radio or the TV that I would lose my job.
Mm-hmm.
Say I'm anti-Semitic. The craziness that another human being could place on another human being without any sensitivity.
Yeah.
Our leaders, who are government leaders, now, look, we don't care anything about what you think. Truth, all right? Whatever, okay? People have all built up their lives with all the riches, afraid to lose. Anything against those who actually in these crimes,
perpetrating.
You say, oh, yeah. if we're saying anti-Semitic, it's not the people. People
experiences we experience them big up
referred to as
you're coming in and out, Professor.
Figure that. Okay, can you hear me now?
Yes, yes. Yeah.
You see? Why are you scared of the truth? You know, you see how people are afraid. Listen, God. I already told you it's finished over there.
Yeah,
these people
were
finished.
Yeah.
4 weeks ago, 5 weeks. See, now they're in a situation where they could get out is to appeal to Almighty God.
Yeah.
Want to get out.
Yes.
It's something, and as Muslims, and this is a warning to our communities here in the United States, that this can easily happen here. People who are running for the highest office of the land don't know the difference between truth and falsehood.
And
people are becoming more and more.
Humanity is savagery. Humanity is savagery. The fact that you brought it to a human level, just look at it as from that perspective. These are two human people of human family, one is viciously killing the other. And then, I mean, it's very simple. It's very simple that it needs to stop. It needs to stop. It's very, and that's all, that really is all that can be said. It needs to stop and stop right now. It doesn't need to go on in another instant. You know, it's very simple. It's not complicated. Not rocket science. You know, you're just bombing innocent citizens. And, yes, you got some bad folks mixed in like here. You got a bunch of bad characters right here.
From
you could easily justify that. You know, that type of practice if you just wanted to not be human. So, yeah. So we definitely need to be more conscious. And this is the religion. This is what El Islam brings to the table. It brings humanity together, one humanity. That's the picture, and that's the objective, that we want to see this as the human family able to work, to live together, to share this planet. Because this planet doesn't belong to anyone. Allah is the creator of this planet. It belongs to the creator. We are just sharing it for a short time, and many times it's very brief that we are on this planet. Yes. So we want to take another pause for the call, Professor, and we appreciate you so much for sharing these thoughts and also sharing a perspective. You know, I appreciate our engineer for playing humanity is everybody's business, right? It's everybody's business. Yes, so we're going to take a pause for the call. Don't touch that dial. You'll be back in a while.
There's a place where words make people, a place where you're invited to expand your heart and mind. There's a place where your intellect is respected and your voice protected. You're listening to the American Muslim 360 Radio Network. 24/7, Muslim-hosted, from religion and current world events, politics, faith and education, marriage and health, music and arts, physical fitness and more. Join AM 360, where we're helping to build a model community every day. It's a place where you can help remake the world.
Okay. We are back. We want to go to our callers. We got some callers in the queue. Callers, we apologize for that, but we wanted to really set the spirit for this particular program in the right perspective. So caller, state your name. First caller, state your name. Where you calling from? Welcome.
Yes. Well, thank you. I am Kareem Hamid calling in from St. Louis, Missouri, and I greet everyone with the greetings of peace, of assalamu alaikum, and all the praises due to Almighty God, Allah. What is being presented here on preparing to make it in the land of plenty is answering a question that was delivered by the Honorable Farad Muhammad. He asked the question, and those with you are answering part of it, some of it. He asked, what means and methods shall be used to oil the rusty lock? So he was asking a question that we have to come together and come up with means and methods. It's one thing to mention the high laudable principles about Islam, but what means and methods, that goes into detail, that goes into collaborating with each other. I think that's an excellent idea of highlighting the Muslim athlete that our youth are very attracted to sports. I think that's an excellent method. Let us continue to have these kind of conversations. What strategies shall we use? And I'm grateful that y'all are addressing it from that point. Praise be to Allah. And let me say this here, and I'll be off in a few moments. Satan threatens you with poverty. If you stand up for justice, you're subject to get canceled or lose your job or whatever. Allah says Satan threatens you with poverty. But Allah is ghani. Allah is rich. Allah owns everything. So that's why there's the hesitancy for those in positions to take the proper stance. They fear that they will lose financially. What is it to gain the whole world and lose your own soul? So anyway, I'll stop right there. Let's continue to hold strategy meetings like you're holding now as to what means and method can we use to attract our future, our youth. Thank you, Imam DeLacy and Professor Rabbani. Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum assalam. Thank you, Imam. Thank you for sharing as well. Next, let's go to our next caller. Caller, state your name and where you're calling from. Welcome to Preparing to Make It in the Land of Plenty.
Thanks for having me. Ishmael family from Dallas, Texas.
Yes, it's Brother Ishmael. Welcome.
Yes, I'm glad to hear. I just called in hoping that somebody would be on, and I was pleasantly surprised to hear the show going on. So
yes, sir.
I'm thankful.
We had a good, so far we had a good morning. The evolution of revolutionary thought was on. It's worth a listen back to it as well. It was very powerful production the ma'am shared with us.
I most definitely will. Yeah. I just came in maybe about 5 minutes ago, and I heard our brother speaking on not knowing falsehood from truth. And I was just wondering, you weren't talking about the White House press secretary, were you, Karen Jean Pierre or something? I don't know.
No,
if y'all
not,
heard
not
her
necessarily,
comment.
But share with us what that particular thing. We were talking in general.
Okay, she was, the other day I saw where she was talking to the press and talking about how devastating it is in Ukraine for a family to, you know, be going to the mall or going home and their building blows up, you know, and just how devastating that is. And just wanting us to empathize, which we should empathize, but it just baffles me to think do they really think the public is that gullible where you can just talk about one group of people but not talk about the other group in the same sense, and they say nothing about the other situation. It just baffled me, and I just wanted to add that. I was like, man, this is, I mean, I'm not sure what kind of world they think we live in, but that's crazy. Yeah. I just wanted to add that. Thank you.
Appreciate it. You know, and I appreciate the professor bringing up and emphasizing the humanity aspect of this, you know, and you can't separate the insanity from sanity. They're already separate. They're already separate. You don't have to highlight it. It's very obvious. So when you have the right focus of a human life and human, like the imam gave the term, true humans. And, you know, if we look at the situation like that without the prejudice of race, color, politics, all of these other influences, if we just look at these things as simply as right and wrong, it's very easy. It's not very complicated. Like Professor said, there are two kind of people, good ones and bad. Bad. You're either good or you're bad. You know, and if you're tolerating bad, you know, Allah talks about that in the Quran, that you're friends of the devil. You're friends of the devil. So you have to be, you have to have a set of principles and take a stand on what is right. And it's very simple. It's not rocket science. You know, it's not complicated with all of this names and labels and tags, et cetera, et cetera. It's either you're going to do the right thing or you're not. Thank you, Brother Ishmael. So let's go to our next caller. It's kind of getting me a little distracted. I want to keep on my strategic plan here. But that's the shaitan. He wants to deviate. He wants you to be diverted, you know? Yeah.
That's right. But, Brother Muhammad, yeah, I just wanted to respond to what the professor was saying. When we look at it, because we always have the solutions. As some believers on this earth has the solution. Allah does not leave us without guidance. When we bring it to their attention over there in Palestine, using that example, that these are people of revelation. These are, in our language of the day, these are the relatives of Ibrahim. Why are you fighting when you're supposed to be feeding each other, building homes with each other? What is causing the problem? I have you forgotten about Allah has told you, all of us, that Satan will be behind these type of schemes. And his imps are only really, really pawns at this time. They are really expendable. He does not care how many Israelis he kills over there. He does not care how many Palestine or any other nationality that might be in that environment. His goal is to show and put fear in the human family, not to benefit from this land of plenty called earth, and use it against it. But that is a good point for those who are in a leadership position, inshallah, Allah best knows, that we should remind them and come to common terms. Hey, Ibrahim is the father of whatever you believe in. You know, why are you fighting? Why are you so-called cousins of the people of the Torah who then ran off for the benefit of this world? Because remember, they don't believe in this world. Those people who call themselves Jews, they don't believe in the hereafter. They all they're concerned about is this world. But the people of the Torah, the real people, if given freedom to express themselves like they're doing now.
Yeah.
But we Muslims also have to get involved, because we are the children, using that terminology, of Hagar. How are we to get them to come to Shura and open this door to humanitarian aid and everything else? But see, if we bring this information to the public, a lot more people will join together to bring this to a halt in that level, in the same way in Congo, in the same way anywhere else on it. Because we are supposed to band together against someone who is wrong and invite them to Shura, and the one who don't want to accept that, that's who we're all supposed to be against. The world's going to come to that, whether we believe it or not, because that's what Allah says.
It's coming, you know, to it. The world is coming, you know, to that. Definitely.
Yes, sir. They're coming to that crap, but we can expedite it by doing our part as people of the Quran, using that language, and responsibility of making sure that we try to keep it out there. That it reminds people, these are two people of Ibrahim. This is a family. This is a family fighting amongst themselves.
Yeah, we're all family.
Coming in
we're
and
all
he family. Into the family.
One community,
yeah.
One family.
Yes,
we all family.
And we had to stress that information so people can start to wake up and look at what we are trying to share with them, especially on this program, then as an individual, then as a group, that our concern is about the whole world and what we are doing to each other, and we're all a one soul, one human soul.
Yeah.
You know, just want to say that.
Save yourself and your family from the fire. Thank you. Thank you.
Appreciate it.
Yeah. So, Professor, we're going to circle back to you now, and please share some thoughts you may have on this topic. And look, and I'm loving your strategic thinking. Okay, I got another call. let me get that caller before we go to you, Professor. Caller, state your name and where you're calling from. Welcome to Preparing to Make It in the Land of Plenty.
Yes, assalamu alaikum. This is Henry Hasib from Mobile, Alabama. And I just like to say that very interesting topic. And I certainly agree with Brother Muhammad there in his statement there. But one of the things I see is that sometimes, you know, when we get in a conversation, especially with those that don't call themselves Muslims, we know the universal meaning of what a Muslim is, one who submit his will to God, one who believes in one God. And there's other people out here that says the same thing, but they don't call themselves Muslims. Now, we know there's a lot of ignorance in the world, and we know how the shaitan works. But I agree with Muhammad there that we got to find a way of how to work with these people because, you know, we all came from an ignorant state to a state of knowledge. And we get to thank Allah that he has blessed us with the knowledge. And, and you know, I tell people sometimes when we're talking and they just can't seem to get it, I say, you know, I can't help if God has blessed me with the knowledge and hadn't blessed you because you don't seem to be able to get it. You know, I'll pray that you get blessed, but right now I see your ignorance is more dominant than your knowledge. And I think that's the state that the world is in, especially our brothers and sisters who call themselves Christians. I don't believe that most of them, now there are some, and we can they'll say that's in all religion. But there are some that's diabolical. We know that, and they call themselves all kinds of names. I'm sure we got some bad folks that call themselves Muslims too.
Yes, we do.
That's not the point. Allah calls us to all that is good, and I think if we begin to develop something that other good people that call themselves good people, because that's gonna bring them out, whether or not they're good or not. And us or whether we good. But I think it's a shame today that we can't work with other good people because of whatever little various reason, and I call it the shaitan's influence, that we can't work together. It's more good people, I do believe, in the world than there are bad people, but we seem to be more divided than any other people, look like the most divided people in the world, people who call themselves good. I just wanted to add that to that to get our minds and brain to thinking a little bit. But we got to figure out ways, even if they don't call themselves Muslim, if they do what a Muslim do and they doing good, that's what one who submitted will to God does because Allah doesn't accept the bad. So I think if we can do that, then Allah will bless a lot more people to come into the understanding that we have of what we call al-Islam. Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum assalam. Thank you. Thank you, Brother Henry. Appreciate it. And Brother Henry does a program on Thursday morning, Critical Issues. Brother Henry, mention your program right quick.
Thursday morning at 6 a.m. Central and 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, we have critical issues, and we talk about the issues that's affecting all of us there. So we do invite you to tune into that if you're up for on Thursday morning. I know on the Pacific Coast it's like 4 o'clock, but there are people that's up at 4 o'clock, too, because I know I'm up at 5 or 4:30 there getting ready for prayer there. So,
I'll be up at all kind of hours here lately.
Exactly. But we do invite you to tune in. And then also, you know, give us your thing, because we have to talk more to each other, you know, not at each other, but to each other. And if we do that, I think, and try to understand each other, because a lot of times we criticize people that had come from where we used to be, is where we used to be. You know, I can remember things that before I came into this knowledge, which I did, I think, a lot at a very early age. I think I was around about 16 years old when I came into it, and it wasn't something I was looking for. I'm going to have to be honest with you. I wasn't looking for it. But when it came, I had to admit what it was. So we have to be patient. And I know when they, my brother, who brought it to me, we ran him out the house. He came in here, and we had never heard of this before, talking about pork. And that's our main dish. You know, that's breakfast, lunch, and dinner. And we got a few hogs in the back and all of that kind of stuff. And you coming out here telling us about pork? Get out of here. Bless me to come into the religion, and now he tries to defend why he eats pork. You use him to get me. So, and I thank Allah for that. I can't thank him enough for that, but I do remember that. So at that stage, I was ignorant. So how can I criticize in the way of just criticizing and not trying to help another person who's got that same kind of mindset? You know, the prophet said, peace be upon him, and I'm going to get off, that said, those of you that are here, say, take this message to those who are not here. Perhaps they may understand it even better than you. And I've seen that to be true in so many cases. If we take this message to doctors and lawyers, other professionals, you'll be surprised with the understanding that they may get. And even just other
simple people,
right.
Yeah. So thank you, Brother Henry. Appreciate it.
Yeah, alhamdulillah.
So we got another caller. Let's get to our next call. Thank you, sir. Thank you so much. So, caller, state your name and where you're calling from. Call up. State your name and where you're calling from. Are you? I'm hearing something. I guess maybe is this a previous caller, Madeira?
No, it's Muhammad Sharif calling now, Brian, New York. Can you hear me now?
Oh, Muhammad, welcome. You're the man I wanted to hear from. Let me ask you a question first before you get started. Did you hear that lecture that Imam Kareem had on this morning? It was in Harlem, New York.
Yes, but Imam, yes, I heard. I heard part of it. I didn't hear all of it. I only got about, I think, about 20 minutes.
Do you remember the year it was, whatever? Do you remember that?
No, I don't remember offhand, but it's a book. And then W.D. Muhammad speaks in Harlem. I'll find the book and I'll let you know what year it was.
All right. Appreciate it. Go ahead. Say what you have for us, inshallah.
No. Y'all just calling in because I know this past Thursday, I haven't been able to get on Lifeline since all week just about. So
we were having technical difficulties. We were having some technical difficulties. This is the best morning we've had in a week, really.
Right. Okay. Good. Because I knew I used to turn on every Thursday morning. Adam B.R. and them Yusuf Ramadan. Like I said, a week without Thursday. I mean, that was all week, man. I kept calling me.
Alhamdulillah. And we appreciate you, a loyal 360 listener.
I'm glad to get the MP6 is back up and running.
Yeah, good. Yeah, I am as well. Thank you, Brother Muhammad. Appreciate it.
Okay.
Yeah, you're welcome. All right.
All right. So we're gonna take a station break here, pause for the call, and we'll be back with preparing to make it in the land of plenty, having some strategic discussions on how to reach Muslims who have been Muslims and maybe got sidetracked, and we want to have like a Islamic homecoming. So let's take a break, pause for the call.
Said I may not know you.
Assalamu alaikum. Join us each and every Sunday from 5 to 7 Eastern Standard Time and 4 to 6 Central Standard Time for the broadcast of the contemplations of Imam Wahiduddin Muhammad, sharing his insights, his wisdom, and his knowledge here on America Muslim 360, utilize the books edited by Brother Morocco, Brother Ghani, and Brother Ronald B. Shaheed. So we look forward to your presence as we share the insight, the logic, and the thinking of our beloved Imam Wahiduddin Muhammad here on America Muslim 360 on a myriad of subject matter. We look forward to your presence. Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum assalam. Alhamdulillah. You know, when Brother Henry was talking, I was thinking about a friend of mine. He's 97 now, years old. Yeah, I think so, yeah, 97. We used to work together. He's still in the nursing home. I need to go see him, by the way. And I was on my soap box one time years ago, 20, 30 years ago, maybe. And young imam, and I'm preaching about, we need to do more da'wah. We need to do more of this. We need to do this. We need to do that. And he was listening to me. And he said, well, I'm doing a lot better now than I was before I heard it. So he brought me back. Brother Henry reminded me of him, you know. And this brother here, he would give his donation in Sadaqa every week, same amount, every time. It would be like a display. He would pull out that wallet, and he would shuffle through the bills, reach in there, pull out that one that he always gives, and put it in the donation box every week. Same thing. You know, I went to see him about a month ago or so, and someone was telling me, he's not recognizing people, this and that. I walked in there, Assalamu alaikum. Alaikum assalam. I've been worried about you. I said, man, you worried about me? I'm worried. I'm here to see how you doing. And, you know, we recited El Fatiha. I said, you keeping your prayers? He said, yeah. I said, let me hear you recite El Fatiha. He recited it. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Ba'al-Kiyam-Din. And what follows, you know? So this Islamic spirit never dies. So, Professor, please share some thoughts with us.
I was reading the brother giving charity zakat. Consistent. And it reminds me of this passage in the Quran in Al-Baqarah. Would any of you like to have a garden of date palms and vines through which running waters flow, matters of fruit therein, and be overtaken by old age, children to look at, then see it smitten by a fiery whirlwind, scorched, God makes clear his messages unto you. Take thought. And in our youth, we see we've created a nice garden. All these different vegetables. And oh, we have young children. In that. When the fire comes, destroy it. That type of thing. So we have to, that goes with our program's emphasis today.
Yes.
Prepare. Prepare those youth for that times that are coming. For that they have the knowledge to maintain and grow hearts and minds and souls.
Yes.
That's one point. The other point I was thinking about, two more points. The first point was when I told you about the Aliyah Muhammad, gold medalist, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and hurdles, it reminds me of life. The 10 hurdles go over. And what she said, what she does is she leads off on her left leg, which is, she gets to the first hurdle with her right leg. 10 of those hurdles.
Mm-hmm.
This hurdle is 40 meters from the, everybody, every racer, down.
Yeah.
Comes down to the athlete. Down the least to the finish line. And that's what that's the race that we're in. We're not going to slow down. Sprint. That's kind of that we can have with the youth and be connected with life experiences that are going to be and that are. Last point, I have to say this. There were and dogs slaughtered like they're being slaughtered. A worldwide uprising. And
that's
many
right.
People will go to jail.
Yes, yes.
Go to jail. Would go to jail, that dog or that cat, in them anyway in the United States, go to jail, ask Mike Vick.
Yes, yes. Been proven.
See the sensitivity is from away from the human life of values. We want to emphasize in our youth that values are just what we say, false. Life and the real values are eternal.
Thank you. Thank you for sharing that, Professor, no doubt. And, you know, I was just thinking, you know, about many of the things that were mentioned. And inshallah, I'm going to sit down and produce a, not a paper, but just an outline on how we can move these ideas forward. And you mentioned some really helpful things, and that I'm going to pay attention to as I produce that outline. And we want to follow up on this particular line of thinking. And we invite our public, our listeners also, to follow up on this line of thinking we presented this morning, because these are critical issues. Brother Henry program, critical issues, this is a critical issue. This is one of these critical issues that we need to address and formulate some ideas and strategies to move them forward. So We got about 3 minutes left, Professor. Any final comments you want to share with us before we bring this program to an end?
At reflecting on, you know, my experience, religion, always been in religion, but just focused into the language, into the spirit was always in the religion. Had that spirit tap. It just needed to be directed. When you heard the voice, the sheep always hear the voice of the shepherd. Follow that voice. And the most of us, we've had some good days, mostly bad days. We had some good days. And we always looked up to certain people, certain types of people. The main thing with youth, always looking, trying to connect with people, just males, they admire. Men that, you know, we might admire might have been men who were doing wrong.
Yeah.
The ones who were doing right. What about the ones who were doing right? And that the youth will be looking and trying to emulate. Staunch, unyielding, the wickedness in the society. Those are the ones that will blaze the trail, that will follow, bring more foxes who were foxes. He came after him. Ray Robinson. All of these. You wanted to be like them. You wanted to achieve greatness of human life, like Muhammad the Prophet, peace be upon him, Imam W. Muhammad. These people, role models. We have to show that first, 22nd century, to deviate from that, other than the cultural will come in the technological and the scientific changes that we have to add to the world. We have to contribute to the world.
Yes.
Community first, ourselves, our community, well, to be ours, in that, in the field of human.
Alhamdulillah, you're breaking up, Professor, and we're at the end, but praise be to Allah, we appreciate those comments you shared. And we'll welcome you back again next week. And we're going to continue this discussion about strategic for having an Islamic homecoming, so to speak. And we'll look at some language for that. And inshallah, we'll work on it. So we want to end with a dua, Rabbana la tuzikulubana ba'da it hadaytana wa hablana min ladunka rahma innaka antal wahhab. Our Lord, let not our hearts deviate after you've guided us. Bestow on us from yourself mercy, for indeed you are the bestower. I mean. Welcome. Thank you all, and we hope to see you back next week to prepare to make it in the land of plenty, 9:30 to 11 Eastern Standard Time.